Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It's good to be together. Our numbers are a little thinner today, but welcome to each one of you. It's good to see you all, and it's been a real blessing to me to be together already this morning. Thank you, Brother Leo, for touching on those thoughts of death and those realities, and those were some thoughts that went through my mind, but I didn't feel like that was going to be the burden of my message this morning, so thank you for bringing that in. I think we've all thought about in the sudden death of your uncle and thinking about realities and thinking about heaven and destinations and hell and the choices that we make, and all of those were different thoughts that went through my mind. I do want to keep the message short this morning because I do know there's a schedule and funeral service in a couple hours, and your family, and so try to keep that in our minds. As I prepared for this service this morning and as I prayed about what God would have me share, I really felt as my thoughts went, sort of moved from what I just spoke of to the year and the end of 2013, the beginning of 2014. And I plan to bring some thoughts that I shared with, I plan to bring 4 points that I shared with the TESOL students at the end of their period of study at their graduation service. I was asked to give a sermon there, share some thoughts there, and I did. And I'd like to share those thoughts, those points. A few of you have heard that are here this morning. But as I pondered the end of the year and the beginning of a new year, these thoughts went through my mind, and I went back and pulled out those notes, and as I studied through them, I felt like there was something in them for me and for us as a congregation. As I thought of 2013, and especially as we look forward, first of all, I want to thank God for what He's done for me personally, for His forbearance with me, for His blessings on me. And I say I. But I want us to be thinking together about this. I'd like you to participate along with me as we think about 2013. I think about my wife and my family and the blessings that God's given to me in that. I thank Him for this privilege to be here with you all, to be together here, to stand before you even. Yes, I thank God for that. I thank Him that there is a cause and a reason for us to gather. I thank Him that there's a reason for us to serve. I thank God that there's a reason for us to live, and I thank God that there's a reason for us to die. And I thank God for you all, for what you bring into my life, what we bring into each other's lives, and what each of us brings to this church family. I'm thankful for this body. I'm thankful for the assembly of the saints. And I ask, what all does God have in store for us this year? Our brother talked about there'll be rivers to cross. He introduced that song that we sang. Very fitting hymn. So what does God have in store for us this year? Will it be good times or will it be hard times? Will we grow in number? Will all of us be here on this earth yet at the end of 2014? And perhaps most importantly, will we grow in Christ in 2014 as we look forward? We are a diverse group of people who've come together here. And I've been blessed and I'm thankful by our willingness to blend together. By our willingness to blend together. For the brotherhood that I see among us. And as I consider our brotherhood, I sense a vision among us of a work to do. Of a cause that is bringing us together. And I believe that God is again going to use naturally needy and imperfect men to do a great work for Him. I believe that. I believe we can look back behind us and see that in 2013. And I believe that we will. God can accomplish that through us in 2014. As we enter into this year, I want to lift up four simple steps that are key to our success in this year, that I believe are key to our success. You know, our success in our spiritual lives, our success in the work that lies before us. A little bit ago, Brother Leo made a comment about, you see, this is more than just information this morning, but it must be enlivened by the Spirit. And it must be enlivened by the Spirit in my own life. And I wanted to suggest that you can take these 4 points, and it could be 5 and it could be 10, but it's 4 that I have here this morning on my notes. And you can jot them down, and you could place them somewhere where you can look back at them. But again, it must come off the paper and into my heart, and it must come off the paper into your heart. And then it becomes alive. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to take most of my points from here. The message title, I had entitled it a week and a half ago for the TESOL students, my message for this class, and I just have my message for 2014 for us today, and I'll just leave it at that. It could be improved upon, I'm sure. But let's look at this portion of scriptures here in 1 Peter. I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and then I'd like to take some thoughts from it for our first point. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Those are beautiful verses, packed full of promises, of truths. And this morning, my first point is, I believe as we look forward to 2014, and as I shared, I guess I'll go back to the class just a little bit, but as I shared with these group of people, see, they had accomplished 3 weeks of hard work to prepare to go somewhere and do something. And may I say that 2013 has been a school to prepare us again for 2014. And there's a sense in which we're all being sent here. And there's a work before us. There's a work before me. There's a work before you. And so, as I consider that, I think our first point should be, as we think about steps that are key to our success in this year, and that is, point A is to rejoice in Christ. Such a simple, such a foundational, such an elementary statement that's been made before. It is. Rejoice in Christ. This morning, rejoicing in Christ is not just a certain combination of words that we put together, but rejoicing in Christ starts with a faith in Christ. It's not just the right worship song that sort of brings something out of me, but rejoicing in Christ starts with a faith in Christ, in this abundant mercy that we are bought and we are which according to his abundant mercy, verse 3, talking about God, see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to God's abundant mercy, hath begotten us, Tim and Marcus and Natasha, and has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, it's that faith. It's that faith that says, yes, I have been bought by Christ and have become a son and daughter of God. It includes repentance towards God. It includes this obedience that you see in verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, through a washing and regeneration and renewing of the Spirit, unto obedience. It includes that, obedience to the Word of God. That's wrapped up in this faith, this faith which brings about this rejoicing in Christ. Paul was inspired to write in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision, talking about us, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That's what he said. And many times when our rejoicing is gone, it's because of a confidence problem. Many times when our rejoicing is gone, it's because of a confidence problem with our flesh. Not a low confidence, but a misplaced confidence in our flesh. See, that's why our rejoicing escapes us at times. Because we discover, we sort of come to that crisis and we say, well, what's going on here? And we discover that we have put a misplaced confidence in our flesh. And it's letting us down again. And so we've taken our eyes off of our Savior, the only one who can wash our sins away and open the door to the grace of God in our lives. Open the door to the communion of the Holy Spirit. Open the door to the restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's why we rejoice in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we rejoice in Christ because of his abundant mercy. Verse 3. We rejoice in Christ because of the lively hope by the resurrection in verse 3. We rejoice in Christ because that is where we find the power of God in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. We rejoice in Christ because that is where we discover this unspeakable joy and full of glory. And the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, I know there's rivers that have been crossed in 2013. And I must confess that I can so easily lose sight of this salvation and this unspeakable joy that we find in Jesus Christ. And somehow by faith, I'd like to repent not only of that, but by faith, to be able to stand more squarely in that confidence and in that truth. Because it's key, I believe, to our opening ourselves up to all that the Father would like to pour into my life. And yes, even to be able to walk through these heavy and these manifold temptations and trials that we will face in 2014. And so my message to us this morning, dear church family, I said to those folks that as they go and as they leave this place, there must be a confidence and an assurance in Christ, a fountain that wells up inside that will give them the grace to minister grace unto the hearers, Jesus said. And that must be part of my life and our lives this morning. Rejoice in Christ and stand in that confidence. Verses 2 through 5, I think, is what really brings that out. The promises of God through Jesus Christ. I'll move on to my second point. And that is, be open to the Spirit. Be open to the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. This year, to face the challenges that will come upon us and that we face now, that are about us now, we need the Spirit of God within us, in our work, in our family's life, in our personal struggles, in the decisions that we must make. And one of the thoughts that I shared with the class was that as they go, they will face situations and circumstances that they really don't have the answers to. And there'll be times when they can become fearful. But Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That is the Holy Ghost. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He will bring all things to remembrance. First Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that are freely given to us of God. As I've considered this point, you know the best way for us to sense the closeness of the Spirit of God in our lives when we're facing difficult circumstances? The best way to sense the closeness of the Spirit of God in our lives when we're facing difficult circumstances is to be open to that same Spirit of God in the comfortable ruts of everyday life. How easy it is for us to become we sometimes accuse our society around us of calling out to God only when there's a crisis, of being crisis Christians. And so as we sort of go through the mundane and as we sort of muddle through life, God just sort of becomes disconnected because, well, it's just life. I mean, I need to get up and I need to push into work and I need to provide and I need to somehow put this together and somehow, and God becomes disconnected. And the Spirit of God, which would like to minister to us and direct us in our everyday lives, can so easily become. And suddenly we realize that we've almost become ungodly. We've almost become separated from God. Be open to the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as we go, you'll notice here in verse 12, Peter references the work of the Holy Ghost here. He talks about those in time past who searched in verse 11 of for what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And he continues on now, because of this new ministration and revelation of the gospel, which the Holy Ghost brought down. Because Jesus said, you know what I really need to do? I need to leave here so that the Comforter can come. And then he will. And as you see the advent of Acts 2, where Peter came forward and he preached the gospel, there was a ministration of the Holy Ghost, and that ministration continues on today in our lives, in my life, and it's revealing to me, and it's teaching me, and it's teaching us together, and it's directing us. And brothers and sisters, in 2014, we need that ministration of the Holy Spirit to continue on in our lives together. In our lives, it is going to be a key in taking these steps through 2014. I also think, if you'll notice here in verse as it continues on in 1 Peter into verse 13 and on down through, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. See, this isn't all just concepts, but I believe what Paul is bringing out here, that as this revelation comes out into my life, there's a girding up, there's a sobering, there's an awareness, and there is a practical life experience that comes out of it. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, and so on as you read through those verses. I just wanted to connect to that before we move on to the third point. And that is, I believe, another important understanding for us is that we are to be confident in your calling and abilities. Now, that is that being presumptuous? Be confident in your calling and in your abilities. The fact of the matter is that each one of us has a calling. Each one of us has responsibilities that are part of our lives. And God has placed a call upon you, whether it means that you get into a truck cab on Monday morning and push the start button, or whether you start scaling logs at the first daylight, or whether you sit behind a computer screen and start programming things that are above most of our minds, or whether you're sitting in the classroom teaching students or off to college. Or that was that side of the house. And so I can come to this side, and there is a calling that God has placed upon your lives. Your young sisters have your place in the home, and things that you're doing in the community, and your mothers. Great responsibility and calling in their lives. And God has called us. We're not just sort of here. See, I think for us to face the challenge of 2014, we must recognize that there is a work that God is calling me to do, and he's calling you to do. And that must impress itself upon us. And I believe God has called us to this work, whatever it might be. Be confident in that regardless of the difficulties. Difficulties many times don't mean we're on the wrong road, but rather just to help get us to a better position on that road. See, God would just like to would like to shape me a little more. He'd like to mold me. He'd like to conform me. He would like to humble me. He would like to sanctify me. But we're confident this morning, not because we're so strong, not because we're so smart, but because of verses like, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be still. be still and know that I am God. Luke 18:27, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Confidence in our God. Romans 8:31, and what shall we say then to these things? What shall we say then to 2014? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Any unbelief here this morning? Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I reckon, I suppose, I believe that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, as the team was preparing, as those two TESOL students were preparing to pack their bags and to leave, to go to a place they hadn't been before, to face challenges they hadn't faced before, there needed to be a confidence and a settled peace in their hearts that God had called them to this place and that God would enable them for this work. A confidence in their calling and in their abilities, not because we're so smart, but because our God will give those things that we will need to face the responsibilities of 2014. May God help us in that. Be confident in our calling and in our abilities. And finally, my fourth point this morning, and the last point that I believe is an important and a key element in our walk in 2014, and that is that we are to direct all honor and all honor to God through Jesus Christ. Direct all honor to God through Jesus Christ. John Piper said this, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. You see, I think that fits very closely to that first point of rejoicing in Christ. All honor. Does our lives glorify God? For all things, 2 Corinthians 4:15 says this, for all things are for your sakes. For all things are for your sakes. I think that is referring to what God is doing through Christ, the work of the Spirit, the sanctification and all that God's brought, they're all for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound, be magnified to the glory of God. That's what that verse is saying. And as I think about 2014, as I referred to those folks a week and a half ago, direct all honor and glory to God through Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, let's go back to them for a moment, as they pack their bags and as they come home, they can't come home with tales of bragging, of accomplishments, of we did so and so and we accomplished so and so. And whether it be someone who has accepted Christ, but rather they will come back and direct all honor to God through Jesus Christ. It was because what Christ has done in my own life. It's because of what God has done. It's because of what the Spirit of God has done in preparing hearts. And this morning, brothers and sisters, let's never forget, whatever comes out of 2014, whatever comes out of 2014, it's not because of how wonderful you are. It's not because of how wonderful I am. It's not because of how good a preacher I am or how good a teacher you are. And it's not even about how cunning my answers were to the questions. And it's not because of how wonderful an organization we are. We really are a good church. I think we are. We've been blessed here together. I'm talking about Fourth Avenue. But it's not because we have such a well-organized conference. But rather, it's because of the Spirit of God doing a work that only He can do in my life and in your life and in the lives of those that we touch. It's because of Him. One preacher, many years ago, my dad tells this story. He read the account. I never read it. But he felt a call of God on his life, and it must have been about 100 years ago. And it's a true story that he came up to New Jersey somewhere, and he rented a small building, and he began to preach in it. And I'm not sure how many messages he preached to himself before some people came. Well, there's this man over here, and he's preaching to himself, let's say. And people began to come in, and people began to come in. And there was I believe one of the reasons the story is written, he's written one of the hymns that we sing. But this man, the theme of his message is, I am nothing, and God is everything. That was the theme. And this morning, brothers and sisters, somehow, by the grace of God, my desire is that I can be nothing and that God can be everything. And I believe as that is accomplished in my life and in your life, that God will do a work among us. And He will accomplish His will. Paul said it this way in Galatians 16, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus. The cross, that instrument of death. Just turn with me to Revelation 5. I just want to look at a couple verses and we'll close this sermon. Revelation chapter 5, as I was thinking about all honor to God through Jesus Christ, my mind went to this scene here in Revelation, and I flipped back through, and I think there may be another scene or two that we could go to, but I just stopped with this one. Revelation chapter 5, and I want to look at verse 9 through 14. And we're thinking now about, as we consider, I believe this concludes this point of giving honor to God through Jesus Christ, but also, could this be that this concludes, doesn't this conclude life? Doesn't this conclude our hope, our goals? Isn't this scene that's here, to be a part of this scene will be the ultimate of success in my life and in our church life. Revelation chapter 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and glory and honor and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. May God bless this year. May God bless your life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you here this morning, and we thank you for the beauty of this day, and we thank you for the beauty in this place. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for sanctification. We thank you for redemption. These are words that we say so easily, but within them, we find new life in Christ. We find sonship, sons and daughters of God, joint heirs with Christ. Oh God, these things are above us. We can't comprehend their fullness, but I pray that you would help us. As we look behind us and we see the twists and turns of the past year, and then as we look before us, I pray that you would help us to be rooted and grounded in faith. I pray that your Spirit would minister to us, show us, teach us, show us all things, bring all things to our remembrance. I pray that we would reach out to you in everyday life. I pray that we would make you a part of everyday life. I pray that you would give us the confidence to take up the responsibilities of today. I pray that we would be willing to live the life of service today. Then, oh God, I pray that through it all, that we would bring honor and glory to you today. And then, oh God, we pray that we can be a part of that scene in eternity. Saying with those tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands, glory, honor. Oh God, I just pray now that you would bless us as we leave from this place. I pray that you would give strength to those who will stand beside the casket today and will bury a family member, a friend, an acquaintance. I pray for those who have lost a father and husband. I pray that you would be near to them. I pray also for those who will witness a wedding today. I pray that you would also bless them. And I pray now that you would just go with us, and I pray that we would walk near to you as we begin this year. And I pray that you would accomplish what you will in our lives and in this church. We ask this all in Jesus' name.